Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild at the mere mention of my name. This is the Mark Unger Show, the show that is all about
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only, Mark Unger.
My mission is to protect you.
I am joined, as always, by the delightful Diane Brierley.
Hello!
And the incredible and fabulous Ross Allen Skorzewski.
I love you.
Thank you, Ross. I'm glad to hear that. We do this every day to help you with your marital challenges, your relational conundrums, your dating dilemmas.
Our reward is that justice has been done.
And that's why we do this every day. Engineering, as always, the incomparable Timothy Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying desperately to stay awake during this incredibly boring show. If you have any questions about relationships, you can email them to us at radio@markgunger.com. Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good, good.
I have to tell you.
I have a lovely beverage this morning.
What kind of beverage?
A lovely beverage, I said.
A lovely beverage.
A lovely warm beverage.
What do you think he said?
I didn't know what he said.
An adult beverage?
Nobody knows what I say.
I heard beverage and there was some kind of beverage.
75% of the show is, what did he say?
What did he say? What was that again?
Or did he really just say that?
Yeah.
That's the thought I have a lot. I'm pretty good at knowing what you said, but seriously, did he really just say that? I have to let you know, you are extremely lucky to have someone like me who can find these fabulous articles that back up what you say.
That validate my insanity.
That's right.
I go off on these rabbit trails all the time, and I have these highly opinionated opinions. And we were talking about this recently, how many of opinions that I've blathered out of sounding like a complete psycho a couple of years ago, now they have studies that absolutely validate what I've been saying, which of course makes me brilliant.
You're a man ahead of your time.
It would be awesome if they mentioned you mind. As the source of their study.
Not likely.
Not likely. Anyhow.
That would not be in the science category. That would be. And then there's this opinionated wacko in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's about as much as they could say.
That might be it.
All right,
here's another one. The bigger the family, the better.
And who does that sound like? Mr. Marky Poo.
That would be you.
Yes.
A new report concludes that children growing up in large families are happier and more successful.
Now, isn't this amazing?
Uh-huh.
Now, I just said the other day, I looked at it from the other standpoint. I said, I believe that the couples who are the most stressed out parents in the world, particularly mothers, are the ones with one kid. They are beside themselves. They are completely unglued for 18, 20 years. You know, how is this healthy for anybody?
No, it's not.
You see, the second one, it drops quite a bit, but the magic seems to be three or more. And now they're looking at it saying the kids are more well-adjusted
and successful
in larger families. What's large to them?
Well, the person they're talking about has five.
There you go. Okay.
So, actually, this came out of the UK. The guy who wrote it, and get ready for making your jokes because he's a Sky News reporter named Colin Brazier. Okay, say it, you guys. Get it out of your system. Laugh like junior high kids.
Brazier. Okay. That's his name.
Brazier.
He spent for short. What's that, bra?
Colin Bra. Spent the last 5 years assembling evidence that supports the idea that larger families are a good thing. We are so often told about the disadvantages of large families that we have lost sight of the hidden advantages. At the time when he first started...
And we are told that, aren't we? We're constantly drilled the disadvantages. Mostly that... What are the disadvantages?
Financial.
You can't afford it, they say.
Yeah. That you don't have the time. That
each kid doesn't get enough attention. And then they suffer accordingly. Which... in theory, kind of makes sense, mm-hmm. except that in practicality, it does not make sense. It doesn't work out that way.
That you can't allow them to be in as many activities and provide as much because there's not enough of you or money or time to go around, mm-hmm. those sorts of things.
Which means you can't be totally psycho micromanaging the poor kid's life every 5 seconds.
Apparently.
Huh. I wonder if that's more healthy for you. And we all do this, by the way, with our first ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, everybody does.
They say that overwhelmingly, firstborns tend to be perfectionists.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
Well, yeah, I wonder if it's really the way they're wired or if they're just hammered that way.
Yes, I think they're molded.
We're all over there. My poor daughter, she's to the stages. Yes. Just black and white, you know. But of course, we were the stressed out just mm-hmm. every 5 seconds. No, yes, no, no, yes, yes, no, no, you know.
It doesn't help when your parents are perfectionists too.
The poor girl. Oh, actually, Kean might have a chance. Because he might rebel against the two perfectionists.
Either go.
I don't know. I see it in him already.
I do too. Mm-hmm. He's his father's son. He is a fun, perfect boy. There's no question about it.
Do you know that he was actually at the mall the other day with Leslie, and she was picking out clothes for Maya, and Kean was already saying, "No. How about this one over here?
Oh my gosh!
And these pants would go with it. This
begins.
Is the better outfit.
That's hilarious.
Yes!
Ross is cheering.
Fashion sense.
You've done good there, Ross.
It begins. The perfectionists, the metrosexual beginnings have begun to settle in.
Okay, that's weird.
You know what I want that sound to be.
I know, you want it to be the mother-in-law song.
I do.
But I thought it would be appropriate for the perfectionist as well.
Yes.
Mother-in-law's perfectionist kind of hand in hand. Anyway, okay.
Okay, so at the time he started looking at this, it says he didn't have the 5 children that he has now, but he was already aware that it was bunkum, which is hogwash.
What?
They used the word bunkum.
Horse manure.
Because this is out of the UK paper, I had to look up a couple of words. Bunkum is hogwash.
Interesting.
He thought it was hogwash to suggest that it cost as much as the price of a family house to raise each child.
And that's what I've said. It's not true.
Yes.
These people are lying. When they give you these economic models, it's mm-hmm. horse manure. These, of course, are the same brilliant economic minds that have got us in the economic mess.
This is right.
Sure. Oh, yeah, keep doing this. You'll be fine. Yeah, how's that worked out?
He said by sharing bedrooms, baths, and toys, he could see that each additional child in a large family worked out cheaper to raise than a child in a small family. Not and sure. That's what you say.
It's the scale. The scale.
And that's scale what he says.
Economic scale, yep.
Nor did he feel it was fair to calculate that each child adds an additional 750 tons of carbon dioxide to the environment. What about the economies
depends on
of
their gas.
Scale?
That's right. The flattest.
That's right.
If they're very flatulent, that might happen.
And they actually used your term, the economies of scale, just what you talk about.
If they're very flatulent.
Oh, please.
Bobby, stop that.
Sounds like it.
You're adding to the carbon footprint, boys. Stop that. Right.
Need to go plant a tree. Erase that imprint.
Stop.
Bobby, go plant a tree for that.
He says a 4-person household, I'm ignoring you. A 4-person household uses half as much electricity per capita as a home for one. Did you listen to that?
Per capita, yes, absolutely.
The people who are messing up the planet are the single people living alone in swanky apartments.
That's absolutely right.
And someone needs to rebut this nonsensical story.
Rebut those butts. Those butts need to be mm-hmm. rebutted.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who are given the biggest carbon footprint. The ones who all the single people running around.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Not the people with 5 kids. Since then, he has not just gathered arguments for the defense. He has gone on the attack, having condensed his research into an article for the think tank Civitas. He may need to don his flak jacket again because the antinatalists who advocate the benefits of a small family.
Antinatalists. That's a great word for it. People against children.
Against the benefit, yeah. Who advocate the benefits of a small family may not like what he has to say. Okay, now this is where it gets into I edited yours. I know it's long, but look where I marked in red there, Mark, and that's why I'm skipping.
Everything's
around.
Red. It's like my high school teacher.
I know. Brings back nightmares, doesn't it?
You fail.
Red, 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 red. Is this a coloring contest? No, it's your paper.
He says, children who share bedrooms are physically healthier than those who don't because their immune systems are toughened up by catching minor illnesses from one another in the early years. If they are a bit cramped and have to endure being told they can't always have the new trains or toys they want, that's good for them.
It's
having
true.
Siblings is also a pointer to future
having
mental...
Having a grandfather gives you everything you want is probably not good either.
Yeah, that's probably not.
We'll have to deal with that.
Yeah. That's a whole other topic.
My wife calls me on it all the time.
Yeah.
well, he wanted such and such. And I said, no, I'll just buy it for him. No! I guess that's not so good. Anything they want, they want it. I'd pretty much
I'm sure you do.
Sure, you want this? Oh, get a bigger one.
I wish you were my grandpa.
I wish I was my grandpa.
Right.
Yeesh. Descendants of large families stand a good chance of making a success of their marriages because they are used to sharing.
Oh!
Isn't that good?
Oh, is that golden?
Yes.
Wait.
Did you see where I'm at?
Say it again.
Descendants of large families stand a good chance of making a success of their marriages because they are used to sharing.
Scions, is that what they say in Britain?
Yeah, I had to look that one up, too.
It means descendants.
This means descendants.
Mm-hmm. Scions of large
they
families
succeed at marriage
stand
because
a
they
better
share.
Chance of succeeding
they know how to
marriage.
Share. It's not
because
all about
they've
them.
They've learned how to share. That's all puke and selfish, which is exactly my point. Mm-hmm. Marriages end for one reason and only one reason. Mm-hmm. People get selfish.
The world doesn't revolve around just
that's
them.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's very cool.
And
okay.
Here's just what you were talking about. There's also safety in numbers from the pressure of ambitious, fussing parents whose tendency to hover like helicopters over their children's head contributes, according to a recent UNICEF survey, to British children being the most miserable in the developed world.
Wow. British children of one-parent families are the most miserable kids in the world because of these helicopter parents.
Not one parent, single-child families.
Single-child family. Yeah, one parent. That
right.
Just hovering over them constantly.
Okay.
And grandfather, so give them everything they want. Bad grandfather.
I'm as keen as the next mother for my children to be world beaters.
It's good for me to have more grandsons.
That's right, keep
on. So I spread it out, so I can't just do it to one anymore.
But just having the one granddaughter at the moment.
Yeah, that poor girl.
More,
yeah. She's doomed. Whoever married that poor girl is doomed. What? Everybody gave me everything I wanted all my life. We'll have to be careful. We'll be careful not to do that. Okay.
He says that people with several children tend to be more realistic about comparing their children's talents. You know how if you have one kid, you're the best at everything. But if you have multiple kids, that you don't overinflate their egos or their sense of ability.
Because one might be better than the other or something. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Apparently you're not the best at it. Which is not a bad lesson
That's
to
right.
learn as well.
All those people on American
Idol
need
to know
that.
When you're the only one. Oh, yeah. isn't that a great truth?
Yes.
What's that?
These people on American Idol, they come and they say, everybody told me I was... a good singer. I wonder how many of those people were kids of one.
Yep. You have to be realistic about what you tell your kids.
To you.
No, I think the parents deceive themselves. Yeah. Well, they are great because they never heard someone else who really is good.
Yeah.
But what a great experience to learn because certainly me and my brothers, we all realized we had different strengths.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't good at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Steve was better at different things than I was better at, because I was better than everybody. But I was better at,
it's a good thing you weren't an only child.
Even kind of wiped out with children today, like within school systems. You know, everybody's got to be the same. You can't rise
above your peer.
Like
you're not allowed to excel.
Right, exactly. They want this equal playing field.
I don't believe that. Okay, next he moves on to chores.
And it gives you something to kind of, sometimes even the parent identifying one as better without realizing they're doing it might cause another kid to reach for the challenge.
To rise up, absolutely.
Because when I was growing up, I wanted a guitar, because I was interested in music. And my mother said, no, Edwin's the musician.
Ooh.
And then that motivated you to go after it.
Well, it ticked me off, but it also motivated me. And then I became a much better musician than he ever did, as far as a player. Yeah. But that was, so even that can be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
So competition's not a bad thing. Our society makes us think that
everyone
competition
has
is
to win. You're all winners. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Let's not keep score.
Okay, next he moves on to chores because chores are an issue in large families. People with a lot of kids rely on the children to look after themselves. With a little, I think this is sarcasm, benign neglect, they are forced to learn to clean, cook, fix things for themselves, and babysit one another. They may grumble, but these are more useful life skills than playing the violin.
With a little benign neglect. In other words, it's okay to be
exactly.
neglected.
Yes, that's right.
Wow, because you have to learn to fend for yourself a little bit. That's good.
Younger children get less parental help with their homework.
I could preach a whole sermon just off of this report.
Yes, you can.
I probably will.
Aren't you so glad you have this brilliant woman who finds these
so
things for
thrilled.
You?
I cannot tell you.
Yeah, you sound thrilled.
Every day I get a chance to see you, and I think to myself, the cliffs of insanity!
Yeah. Anyhow, younger children get less parental help with their homework, but the older siblings act as teachers and the younger ones learn to work on their own. Children from large families are also less likely to be members of the awkward squad at school, having had their rough edges worn down by sibling squabbles. They tend to be more cooperative in the classroom.
Huh.
one non-economic, non-ecological reason.
That definitely wasn't me.
Yeah, right?
What? No, no.
It's not my son either.
Six kids. And
you still had rough edges.
I still had problems in the classroom. Okay. Yeah,
we're not cooperative. Yes. One non-economic, non-ecological reason why parents limit themselves to small families these days is that they like the idea of having the time to be best friends with their mini-me's.
That's it.
In large families, relationships between siblings become more important than those with their parents who are too busy keeping the show on the road to go on endless one-to-one shopping or football trips. Hmm. This too brings bonuses. Not only do children in large families have more siblings among whom to find friends, but there is always someone to give advice or act as a whistleblower if they're doing the wrong thing.
Nice.
To find friends. They call it soulmates in this.
Yeah, I changed that.
But because we think of romantic soulmates. Right. But there is the soulmate of your best
sibling.
Friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Were you like that? Of course, you were a twin.
I was a twin.
Was your sister kind of like your soulmate?
Absolutely.
My brother, Eddie, we were inseparable.
Yeah.
All the way. Until we became adults and started fighting for the last 30 years. But
I mean, we fought a lot, but it was at the end of the day, we were still soulmates. I mean, I don't think you can avoid that almost when you're a twin.
But I didn't have that connection with anybody else in the family.
No.
Actually, I've never had that kind of connection with anybody else, period, in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, neither have I.
Interesting. All right.
Taking the emphasis off the parent-child relationship also means that 20-somethings from big families are less likely to join the growing hordes who live at home behaving like kid-dults. That's the phrase they use.
Kid-dults.
Instead of extended adolescents like you do, they call them kid-dults.
Yeah.
Well past the age when they should be taking responsibility for themselves. They are also better at being parents themselves and less likely to need super nanny's advice because they have more experience of seeing how it's done. Then he gives a short list here of the pros. Children from larger families get into fewer fights and are better at making and keeping friends. Through having siblings, children learn empathy, team building, gratification, deferment, time management, and how to resolve disputes. Children with several siblings have lower rates of asthma, eczema, and hay fever. They make fewer visits to the doctor and have a reduced risk of leukemia, cancer, and diabetes.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that. Older siblings prevent younger ones from being bullied. You've talked about
that's
with
true.
Your brothers.
Yeah.
In larger families, play is less closely supervised. Children learn to take risks, which will make them better employees and employers. Children in large families learn to cook, use the washing machine, and iron. So they have useful skills. No,
not
you
my
didn't.
House.
You know that the
those who grow the last one you missed.
I didn't. I cut up. Read it because it cut mine off on my.
Are those who grow up with siblings are better at getting on with the opposite sex and fewer divorces.
That cut off on mine. I'm sorry. Thank you. Better getting along, and they have fewer divorces from a big family.
I haven't read this, and maybe I'll regret reading. But those are the cons.
Cons are just kind of goofy. I mean, they're not really cons.
Here's the reasons for against large families. Developers are building so few larger homes that a third bedroom can add a fifth of the price to a house.
I think that has a lot more to do with over there.
Yeah. Since 1988, the tax and benefit systems has left larger families living on average incomes worse off. So they've had tax systems that penalize larger families.
See, most of those were pertinent.
That's not even a change in Europe. I think, isn't it true that in like France, if you have like 4, 5, 6 kids, you pay no taxes at all?
I don't know.
They
that.
Actually
wow,
incentivize.
What an incentive.
Yeah, they're incentivized because they're breeding themselves out of existence.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Even these godless secular humanists can do math.
Yeah.
And we're so stupid. Another con, converting a loft or basement means higher council tax bills.
See, that would also be
property taxes.
Because
if you fix up your house, these are some of the little.
See, they didn't seem like they were even that big of a deal or not specific.
In the UK, they many attractions limit the tickets you can buy to 2 children.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Hmm. How bizarre is that? Talk about, why would you hammer?
I don't know. They'd be getting
families.
More money. You would think they'd let them all in.
There's a car tax on larger cars in the UK. We don't have that here, thankfully. Many swimming pools allow an adult to supervise only 2 children. That's the rule.
You can only be watching 2.
About how many children can be in the swimming pool at one time.
No, you can't have like 5 kids to try to supervise on your own. You have to have a 1-to-2 adult ratio.
Yeah, talk about the nanny state. Who's in the backyard counting how many kids are in your pool? Here in Green Bay, you don't have a lot of pools.
Yeah,
we call them ice skating rinks.
You just keep counting. Like my sister has the 4, and I had the 2. And when they were all small, like within the same 5 years, we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'd be counting them every place we went. You just pick them out and you count them because you have to.
And in some countries, there are, and specifically in Australia, there are now proposals of a carbon tax on parents with more than two children. Now they're actually starting to tax people with larger families. Again, which is going to cause their birth rates to plummet. Then they're going to be panicking and freaking. I was reading the other day in the Green Bay paper. I'm sure they pulled it off the wire because who in Green Bay knows this stuff. But they say that America is in trouble because we are looking at an immediate shortfall of like 15 million workers in America over in the near term because of all the people that are baby boomers that are retiring. There's not going to be enough people to work. I mean, it's just crazy. This thing of having one baby is just absurd.
Lots of reasons.
All right. Well, there you have it. The bigger the family, the better. I like it. I will hang on to this one. And I'm sure I will be using this report in the future. We'll take a break and be back with your email questions right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
She got big red lips, she got big brown eyes, and she treats me right. It's a big surprise, she won't do anything that she says she would. She makes me feel good, she makes me feel good. I ask her, come here, baby, she tells me no, no. I ask her, drive me here, she said, drive your own. She likes to race my motor and slam my hood. She makes me feel good, she makes me feel good.
Oh, I like it, I've never heard this.
Lyle, love it.
I love Lyle. One of the best shows I've ever seen.
Crank it up, baby, I want to hear it.
Special love, how she makes me do what no one could. She makes me feel good, she makes me feel good. So, buddy, if you're feeling down and down, your girlfriend treats you bad too, man. Just remember what she's bound to do.
Yeah.
She make you feel good, she make you feel good. She got big red lips, she got big brown eyes. And she treats me right. It's a big surprise, she won't do anything that she said she would. She makes me feel good, she makes me feel good.
We're trying to make you feel good here on the Mark Gunger Show. Not exactly what he's talking about, but we are trying to make you feel good. Great song, great lyric.
Yes.
He's fabulous.
Because he says girlfriend, but should be your wife. If your wife's driving you crazy, just keep in mind she Can make you feel good.
He's got some really great relationship songs. You got to listen to some of them. He's a good lyricist.
Lyle Lovett. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who that is.
He used to be married to Julia Roberts.
Oh, if you saw
the crazy
him.
Hair,
yes.
Crazy hair and the...
Yes. Yes.
Really?
You would like him. You would like... He does his little CD with his big band his where music. It's kind of swingy and some country stuff. You would like him.
He's I like
good.
It.
Very good.
I like it. All right.
Okay, here we are. Compliment to start off your day. Hello to everyone at the Mark Gunger Show. You guys are an absolute riot together. I love it. I recently heard an email sent in by a 17-year-old, so I figured it was about my time to send one in, too. I would like to say that I am your biggest fan, Mark. I first discovered you when I was around 15 or 16 and was flipping through channels at like 2 in the morning. So you must have been on the air in the middle of the night. I saw you being interviewed somewhere, and at first I seriously thought you were on crack. So I kept watching because I found you to be entertaining.
I am on crack.
No, you're not.
Oh.
But as I kept watching, I realized you were for real, and what you were actually saying was fascinating. I have long been, no, he's not really, but he is. I have long been against extended adolescence, romantic nonsense, and excess spiritualism, even before I was introduced to you. So I was shocked to find someone else out there having the same opinions as me. I am a very opinionated person, and I have yet to find something I don't agree with you on. Anyway,
poor girl.
Keep listening. Anyway, the next day I had to find out more about you, so I Googled you and have been a loyal Gungorian since. I am now 17. I have watched your DVDs.
Oh, she's 17 years of safe?
Yes.
Oh, she's very young and thinks like me.
She was 15 or 16 when she first heard you, and she's 17 now. I've watched all of your DVDs, listened to all your radio shows, and try to listen to your sermons as much as possible.
Wow.
She's brainwashed. Also... Since then, I have coerced my parents into buying your Laugh Your Way DVDs and Sex, Dating, and Relating DVDs. I also convinced them to go to your seminar last year in Fort Myers, Florida. And they took pictures of them with you for her, just so that she could
have
pictures.
Oh, yes. That is so cool. Yes. Hey, we're coming back down to Florida.
When are you... Jackson... Jacksonville?
I don't care. It's in Palm Harbor, Florida.
Oh, Palm Harbor.
On the 7th and 8th.
Of March.
Yeah, for the Water Sports Department. Okay, cool.
She says, they've all done their flag pages. I'm now getting my stepdad and brother to go to the next Manly Man conference, and she thinks that your Matrix metaphor is brilliant, and she's hoping to read your book very soon.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you for your compliments, but trust me.
Our reward is that justice has been done.
There you are.
Yes.
She says, all I can say is thank you so much for helping me stop the line of dysfunction in my family. I could never say thank you enough.
Wow. Well, I love this little girl.
There you are.
Sweet. Very cool. All right. We will continue on our quest to answer your emails. If you have questions you'd like to throw at us, you can email them to radio@markgunger.com. We will do our best to opine upon your dilemmas, conundrums, and challenges. We'll be back right after this.
1 hour a day of Mark, not enough? Why not take him with you? Each of Mark's audio CD series are at least 4 hours of Bible teaching, laughing, and learning that you can listen to wherever you are, at work, in your car, or at home. Topics include men and women.
We live in a culture that's completely clueless and believes in all kinds of nonsense. You need to know something. The key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's doing the right thing.
Family issues.
Men need to be involved with their children. Children need the challenge and the risk that men offer to them.
And even verse-by-verse Bible studies. All with Mark Gunger's humor and sometimes outrageous take on the subject at hand. To see all of the series available and order your copy today, log on to laughyourway.com or call 866-52-LAUGH. Order now at laughyourway.com. Band of Brothers Radio. Your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there. Because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have another ace up right. my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
We can roll with the punches. We can stroll hand in hand. And when I say it's forever, you understand that you're always in my heart. You're always on my mind. And when it all becomes too much, you're never far behind. And there's no one that comes close to you could ever take your place. Cause only you can love me in this way.
Only we can love you the way we love you on the Mark Gunger Show, where we handle all of your relational questions.
Next email is from a husband. I seem to be having problems with my marriage. I know what they are.
I'm shocked.
I know what they are, and right now I feel that I can't do anything that will help my problem. My wife says that I am not romantic enough for her. This is also something that she knew before we got married. I do my best when I have the extra cash to spend, but lately that has been few and far between. I have tried to explain that because of our financial standing that I can't get her small romantic gestures anymore. I've started a new career and I'm the only income and it's about a third less than we were making before, so I can no longer take the family or her out to dinner on a whim. But we still, by her pushing and nagging, are sending our oldest child to a private school. Among the multiple other things she has nagged out of me or bought without asking me or telling me until they arrive at the house. Every time I tell her that we can't live like we used to, she tells me I'm too controlling and she feels like a prisoner in our house. When we fight, even if the problem was caused by her, she will dig up something and blame me for everything that's going wrong. I can't argue with her when she gets irrational and won't listen. All she does is blame me for everything. We know how to push each other's buttons, so when we fight sometimes, we get vindictive. To calm her down, I usually end up forfeiting and apologizing and telling her she is right. So I was wondering if you can give me any pointers on how I can make romantic gestures to my wife that are mostly free, inexpensive ideas that I can use to keep my wife happy.
Yeah, I just look at your wife very romantically and say,
stop whining.
Tell her that she's special to you. And
well, I've got news for you. You are mine now. You belong to me.
Oh, my gosh, you stop that.
Yes.
You're mine now. You
probably not going to be a real successful approach, but no, worth trying.
You never know; it might work.
Just do what I tell you.
No, I don't.
But you got to say it with that accent. You got to say it like Arnold.
You got to say like Arnold. Arnold, say you must do it. You must do it now. You have to obey me.
It is your destiny.
So they're having issues in the how to romance her, as well as issues with the fighting and how they fight with one another.
Yeah, well, you know, get my book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. I talked about how to fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Everybody fights.
Do you know how many guys I've met with that don't know how to really romantically approach their wife with just random acts of kindness as if it's always a monetary thing that they need to do?
That's the other thing. You don't
they think that they have to buy it.
You don't have to spend any money, dude, to be
cook
romantic.
Them dinner, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm. Get the vacuum cleaner, plug it in, yep. Vacuum the floor. Mm-hmm. That to a woman is romantic. Here, you know, whenever you talk about romance, and a lot of these relational shows don't help because they'll talk about do this special thing and you know,
get candles, buy the roses,
and drop rose petals all the way to the tub and draw her water and just for heaven's sakes, good grief! When I talk about romantic, I'm just saying be nice. Good grief!
Pay attention.
There's a million ways you could be nice to the girl. Help her with the laundry, vacuum. So she doesn't have to. Make the bed so she doesn't have to. All this costs you nothing except a few minutes of your time, for heaven's sakes.
But a guy thinks that that's not what she's looking for.
It is what she's looking for. She's just looking at the fact that you will pay attention to her.
And help, yeah.
Okay? If his wife does have a spending problem, you know, you guys are going to have to deal with that, you know, you know, listen to Dave Ramsey or something, because that's not my thing. Mm-hmm. But, but the whole thing about romance, just be nice. That's all you got to do, be nice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cost you anything. If you think you got to go buy something to be romantic, you don't get it.
No.
It's just that simple. The fact that the way you're writing this, I would probably say to your wife, he doesn't get it. And she'd probably shake her head, yeah, he doesn't get it.
Well, he did say that he knows they did the love language, that book, and he knows that her two are words of affirmation and gifts. So gifts, that is a big thing for her.
Yeah, but you can still
do
gifts that are not.
Right.
You know, go online and print out cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while. It'd have been easier just to go buy a stupid card for Valentine's Day. You know, they finally figured out the dumb thing, and you know, it costs you nothing,
yeah, right?
You know, there's all kinds of neat little things you can do, gifts you can do.
Write a note, leave it on the bathroom mirror, whatever.
One flower. What does a flower cost?
A buck.
Well, it depends. $3.99 if you're going to get a long stem rose
from like a Quick Trip or something.
Mm-hmm.
Probably around a couple. It's going to cost you a couple bucks, but still,
it's $2. Right. Good grief, you know. All kinds of little things you do. So the fact that you're thinking that you've got to do some kind of a production, men, when they're confronted with the idea of romance, they think production and money. Mm-hmm. Money and some kind of mini production, which means you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just be nice. Be thoughtful. Be attentive. That's really all it takes.
Tell her how much she means to you. Tell her thank you.
See, I have
Tell
a theory. I think guys always want a summit. They want to go right to the peak without the important steps of making it to each base camp. When I talk, every guy just always, they want a summit. They want a summit. It's this big ordeal. And
it's
totally,
a big ordeal,
it is,
all right?
Absolutely, but forgetting those small, subtle things that matter just as much as the peak.
Yeah.
Spend time with her.
First, I would like to just get to know you.
That's right.
That's all you got to do. Things get out of control, just yell.
Put a sock in it.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
That's
not romantic.
Don't do that at all.
Save that for the man cave, talking with the guys. This is what I'd really like to say.
Yeah. This is what I said to her, but this is what I really wanted to say.
And when you don't understand what she's talking about, do not say.
Your confusion is not rational.
Don't say that. No, please don't say that. Speaking from the female perspective, don't ever say that. She will hurt you.
All right.
Okay, next email. My husband and I have been married for 6 years and have been together for 10 years. They actually lived together for 4 years first.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago last winter, he lost his very well-paying job due to the economy. We were eventually forced to file bankruptcy and are now in foreclosure of our home. My husband quit attending church years ago. We stopped praying together. He started fishing and riding his motorcycle and staying away from home on adventures, in quotation marks. And eventually—
What? Staying away from what?
He started fishing and riding his motorcycle and staying away from home on adventures.
Oh, he's out having adventures getting away from home. Okay.
Yes, and eventually ended up looking for women to meet up with online. I was at my wit's end.
Here's an adventure for you.
Yes, when I found the evidence openly on my computer, I never would have dreamed that he would have gone there. Well, he's out fishing and having adventures and gone.
He's really fishing.
Okay. I already didn't wholeheartedly trust him because of his outward flirtations with other women, but took the responsibility for the distrust as my stuff before that. But I was deeply injured to find the evidence that he was indeed headed towards cheating, and it looked like he already had. He became short-tempered and ugly when we separated for a short time. He came back home after we agreed to go to Christian counseling, but they never did go. He just came home and they never did the counseling. He lost all interest in maintaining our home, saying we were losing it anyway, so why bother? I became more and more withdrawn and depressed. He eventually found a job just before his unemployment was to run out, but our financial security was already too far gone. We did not go to counseling. We did not return to church. Mark, I love my husband, but we are in crisis. He is not motivated to do anything. He spends time downstairs playing his guitar, and I am upstairs on the computer. We are basically roommates. He works sometimes 2 days out of the week and claims that he can't get another job because he's on call. Any ideas for us?
On call?
He must have some sort of a job that he works 2 days.
No,
he did get another job.
But
like 2 days, then he might get called in other days. We will be attending your conference, God willing, in February. He says he will go if he's not called in to work.
Yeah. Ay. You know, I mean, I don't know your situation. I just hear what you say. It sounds to me like he's really going through some crisis, because that's a big deal when guys lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. Men get their sense of well-being from what they do. What he had was ripped from him. The fact that he doesn't care about his house because he's losing it, that's perfectly natural and normal.
Mm-hmm.
Him having girlfriends and stuff is not normal.
No.
Look, you have to get a clue about what is permissible and what is not permissible. Mm-hmm. My problem with you, dear, is you are a little clueless because you are allowing him to do things that are very destructive. My wife would not tolerate me just taking off.
On adventures?
On adventures, and I don't know, you know, there's just no way.
No. Right.
Much less looking at girls and having girlfriends online or whatever he's doing.
Well, again, if he was rudely, outwardly flirtatious in front of her with other women,
yeah,
where do you think, when you see somebody doing that, where do you think that's going to end up eventually?
Well, it's insulting to her, and she should lay down the law. But she's not a law layer downer.
No.
So she says, you know, they separate. And then, as I always predict, the guy says, I'll do anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then as soon as he moves back in, they don't do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then the women don't do anything.
Right. Yeah.
You girls are as clueless as the day is long.
If he said he was going to go to counseling, then he needs to go to counseling. Yeah. So to be home.
If that's the rule, he comes home and he doesn't go to counseling, one week, mm-hmm. you're done. Back out. That's all you do, dear. The fact that you didn't kick him out right away is on you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a bad man because he wouldn't do it. No, it's on you. Okay? You women, for heaven's sakes, they tolerate horrible scenarios. Then they finally, if they have any sense at all, will finally force the guy to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Then he, as I always say, begs, pleads, I'll do anything to come home. As soon as they come home, he doesn't do it, and she puts up with it again. You know, I say, well, what did he do? Well, he didn't do anything, you know, for the next 5 years. 5 years? Are you insane? Five days I wouldn't tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens if he does it? You kick him out again. And then he'll beg to come back. And when he comes back, if he doesn't do it, what do we do? Then you kick him out again. What is it with you women? Seriously, I think women, there's something wrong in your brains. I don't know. I mean, there's this one-time thing in your brain. You know that, well, I did it, and that didn't work, and so now what do I do? You do it again.
Because something in their brains tells them that if I say it once, if I do it once, it's supposed to be forever.
Oh, my gosh.
And it doesn't work that way.
We talked about this the other day. Women go psycho crazy because they say the thing one time, their husband doesn't do it, and they're writing mean. My husband won't do it. He's driving me crazy. Just check your medication. Now, all women are not like this. My wife's not like this. Women who have good marriages are not like this. It's you girls who go psycho crazy because one thing doesn't happen right away. Good grief. You got a man who's been acting like a pig and a bum all of his life, probably because he's been surrounded by women just like you, who let him do anything he wants. Women, moms, his mom probably let him do whatever he wants. Girlfriends probably let him have sex with him, everything else they wanted. She did that for the first four years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has been surrounded by women all his life who accommodate whatever he wants. Then finally, you get enough of a clue that you force him out. He moves out.
Mm-hmm.
And now he comes back and what? You don't do anything. I mean, I was mortified when you read that.
Yeah.
So he said he'd come back, he goes to college, and then never went.
Never
went. And now it's how we're upstairs, and he's downstairs. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You kick him out again.
Yep.
And then when he freaks, I'll do anything, he comes in, and if he doesn't, within hours of coming back, schedule an appointment, within days to go see somebody, you kick him out again.
Mm-hmm. Because intentions don't mean anything. What you intend
or what you
say.
He was cursing at me, so I kicked him out. Good. Well, then he promised he wouldn't come back. Then what happened? Well, then he just kept cursing me again for the next 5 years. Are you crazy?
Yep.
The minute he curses at you again, you kick him out. And then he'll beg not to do it again. Then, okay, then what do you do then? Then you let him back in. See, that's what these women, they don't want to do this. They don't want to repeat the game.
They want a one-time fix it, undone, make it all
better. Are they afraid that they're just going to lose the man altogether?
No,
they would rather just live
in
dysfunction than be alone.
No, they're opposed to playing the game. They don't want to play the game. You know, they want to, you know what? They're like football players that want to score touchdowns, but they don't want to play the game.
Sure.
All they want to do is score the touchdown.
I just want a touchdown. Give me that stupid ball, and I walk over here. Okay, now, there, I have a touchdown. Now you take the ball, and I walk over there, and you. That's not the way it works. Life is about the game. You do things to get places. These women are opposed to that. So I kick him out if he cusses at me, and then he came back, but they kept cussing me. Okay, I give up. Are you crazy?
Do you think they do this with their kids, too? Are these the same moms who do not stay with their kids? They don't act as a mother?
That would be my guess. That would be my guess.
Did they say it once? Well, I told him, and he didn't do
his
homework,
so. Quite frankly, I don't care. All I'm saying is these women have got to be smarter than this. Look, you married him. I didn't, okay? Don't yell at me about it. You picked a man who apparently is a jackass, all right? All you women out there who have married jackasses, don't get mad at me. You did it. You married him. And the reason he's a jackass is because women just like you turn him into a jackass, starting with his mother and his sisters and his aunts and his grandmas and girlfriends, giving him blowjobs and everything else he wants all the time throughout teenage, and then he finally marries you, who he's probably been screwing for a couple of years anyway before you finally married him, and then you're shocked because he's a jackass. Who made him a jackass? All you women made him jackass. All right?
Wow.
At some point.
Wow.
What? I don't know how many times I can say jackass in the show. So now, somebody has to stop it. It falls to you.
Well, and he's not going to like it. I'll tell you that.
But I'm saying, it's the women who don't like it.
Right.
Why do I have to be his mother? I'll tell you why you have to be his mother. Because his mother wasn't his mother. And a girlfriend, no woman in his life ever jerked a slack out of him. Mm-hmm. My advice would have been to you, do not marry the jackass.
Yep,
you did.
Yep.
Now you've got him. Now you have to deal with it. That means you've got to get in his face. He curses at you. You look at him. Don't you ever curse at me or I'll throw you out. He does it again. He'll do it again.
Sure.
Okay, you got to leave. He leaves. He cries. He'll send you emails. He'll send you flowers. I'm so sorry. I want to come home. And he comes in and just say, okay, Bobby, the minute you cuss at me again, you're out. All right, you cuss it. And he will. And then you throw him out again. Well, then what do I do, Pastor? He says he wants to, women all the time. I kicked him out. And then he says he wants to come home. What do I do? Let him back in.
Sure.
Really? But what if he does it again? You kick him back out. They look at me like I dropped in from Mars.
Sure.
This is complicated. This is hard. I mean, maybe it's the public school system that we have. People don't know how to be educated and people don't have brains anymore. It's very, very simple. You kick him out because of bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
He promises to be good. What do you do? You let him back. But what if he does it again? You kick him out. But then what if he wants to come back? You let him back. And then what if he does it again? You kick him out. Even a dog at some point can be trained. Very few dogs, the first time they poop on your floor, get it.
Mm-hmm.
Hate to use the analogy of a dog, but I guess it's a little better than jackass.
All right? I don't know.
That's probably me. It's probably
a toss-up to me.
Whatever. I don't care. He poops. You got to deal with it.
Yep.
At some point.
You don't get rid of the dog.
Even a dog at some point, after multiple cycles, will stand at the door, yelping and whining, saying, for the love of God, let me outside. Let me outside. Let me outside. Let me. You can hear the poor dog in pain. And, I mean, his bowels are about to explode. And he's and finally, somebody let the dog out. And you open, the dog is worshiping God out on the front lawn as he's pooping on your lawn, saying, thank you, God, because I can finally poop out here.
Yes.
And then he goes back. Even a dog came to that point. Women don't seem to get this. So here this guy, she has enough sense to kick him out one time. What does he do? What do I always say they'll do?
Yeah, they always say, I'll change.
I'll do whatever. He promised to come back to counseling. She comes back. He doesn't do it. And what does she do?
Nothing.
This is on you, my dear. Your problem is not you think your problem's your husband. Go look in a mirror. That's where you'll see your problem. We'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com. And Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Laugh Your Way presents Mark Gunger's Butt Kicking Woman Conference. Find out what it takes to be a strong, confident, and respectful woman at the second Butt Kicking Woman's Conference, May 20th and 21st at Celebration Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is not your typical woman's conference and will be unlike anything you've ever attended before. This life-changing weekend will feature nationally renowned speakers Mark Gunger, Lakita Garth, and Carrie Pomeroy. Join us and learn how to be the kind of woman that knows who she is, what she believes, and won't let the devil or anyone else kick her around. For more information, log on to www.buttkickingwoman.com.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
students, you have a four times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, dating, and relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, dating, and relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
Well, you done me, and you bet I felt it. I tried to beat you, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my bestest. And nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. But I won't hesitate no more.
Jason
no
Mars,
I think. Cannot wait.
So I'm yours.
I'm yours.
Sorry, it's kind of popular.
Very nice. You are listening to The Mark Gunger Show as we are answering your marital questions and dilemmas.
Okay, we get a lot of emails, you know, from third-party people. Like, my brother's having problems. This is another one of those. So mm-hmm. just, you can't do a whole lot, but you can speak to what you can do. You say, sorry, the frog's there. You say a lot about the women needing
to... Damn cigarette she smokes during the breaks. Clogs up her windpipe.
Go to menthol.
Excuse me. I was eating honey. The honey went down the wrong way.
Hey, shut up.
You say a lot about women needing to step up and draw the line in the sand, and I completely agree, as I've looked around and have seen how it works. But
hold on just a second. Usually it's women because it's men, because the male culture has been so corrupted by women mm-hmm. who let men do anything they want. But the same thing is true if you reverse the sex. Sometimes it is a woman who's acting very, very badly, and it's a woman who... has been spoiled all her life.
Sure.
And
yeah.
she gets everything she's wanted.
That's always, what this case is.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. But then the same rules kick in. Then mm-hmm. the guy has to take and start drawing the lines in the yeah. sand. Okay.
She says, I have a brother who is living in a very unhealthy situation and has been for the last 5 years or so. He is the exact opposite of the situations that you describe, whereas it is the wife behaving badly. The crazy thing is he continues to allow her to do so, in which I believe he thinks he is doing the marriage a favor, as he knows he doesn't want to divorce. They have a lot of money issues. I'm editing this highly. A lot of money issues. He ends up sleeping on the couch. She's bought him Playboy for years and now is mad that he's looking at porn on the computers.
Oh,
she's
really?
The one refusing counseling. He is going, but she refuses to go. He thinks that she's bipolar and just keeps hoping that she will get better, but she doesn't. He doesn't want to file for divorce and break up the marriage because he believes he is doing their children a favor by staying in the marriage.
He is.
Yeah.
Divorce is very bad for children.
It is.
I'm not for a divorce. I'm a big proponent of separation.
Mm-hmm.
Why
mm-hmm.
people can't grasp this is beyond
they
me.
They just jump straight to divorce instead of considering the middle.
Okay, so
as
I get the gist of this, mm-hmm. look, it's and I appreciate you bringing this up because it helps women to get a little picture when you mm-hmm. hear it from the other way around. Okay, here's a man who comes into my office. He says that his wife kicked him out of the house and said, take the son with you, their one son. So he said, I got an apartment and stuff, and I'm still paying for the main house and the apartment and stuff with my son, and still paying her grocery bills and everything. I'm taking care of it. I said, well, why did she kick you out? And he said, well, she wanted, you know, so that her boyfriend could move in with her.
Mm, whoa.
Gracious.
Seriously.
I'm looking at him like,
where's your brain?
You cannot be serious. And, you know, it's really funny because I started out the day, because I'm so mean, I started out today. That's why I do. That's why I quit doing counseling first, because I'm so mean. Oh, because people make you crazy. You can tell how mean I am on the show, but at least I don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So anyway, I got up that morning and said, I'm not going to call anybody an idiot today. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to call anybody. So this guy comes in. This is the first guy I talked to.
First appointment of the morning.
After I vow not to call anyone an idiot. So he says, well, I said, well, why did she have you move out? Well, so her boyfriend could move in. And I said, the boyfriend moved in? And he said, yeah. I said,
So you moved out of the house and you took the son so she could freely screw her boyfriend, but yet you're paying for everything, for the house and the heat and the he goes, yeah. And I'm just inside, I just want to yell, you idiot. And I'm holding it on. I says, why would you do that? And he says, well, I didn't want to make her mad. And then I lost it.
Oh.
Did you call him something other than an idiot?
I said, you are an idiot!
And your vow was broken.
And this was the major fail.
Major fail.
Now, see, when you women hear this, do you get a little different picture now?
Mm-hmm.
This is what you girls do. Here's a man who his wife says, move out and take the son so I can screw my boyfriend. He does it because he doesn't want to make her mad and pays for everything. And he goes, what should I do? Well, I mean, how insane is this?
It's the same thing.
It's the same scenario. No. Yes. You don't. You kick her butt out.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Or if, you know, because the courts say that she gets the house, then fine. But now.
You're not paying for it.
They get the minimum allowable support, which is nothing. Life sucks for her now. You're making it as easy as possible for her to do all the wrong things. He's funding her bad behavior. Because he's so afraid that she'll get mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
She's screwing another man. He's upset that she might get mad at him. This is exactly what you women do all the time. This is an exception, and we read about it here with this guy. It does happen where it reverses. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it's women who are so insecure and so afraid. Oh, I don't know. You know, he might not love me, and I only have the one car, and I can't afford it. And then if they wind up divorcing him anyway. I mean, it's all a bunch of horse manure.
I think it's funny that she buys him Playboy and then gets upset that he's looking at pornography. Really?
Well, I'm sure that whole thing's very dysfunctional. Yeah. Who knows what's going on there?
There's more to that story.
I can't say anything to them as a third party. You can't control what other people do. If he's asking you for advice, I would advise him, kick her out.
But it's his call. I mean, you can't make him
do
anything.
No, but I'm saying, but if you're looking for advice, you kick him out. Okay, you kick her out. They let her get a dose. See, what these women like this. They love it because they get the financial benefit of everything still.
And they're living no real consequence.
She still has this full the income coming in. Mm-hmm. When a couple separates, and now you got to start slicing incomes in half at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Ow. It's a good picture for people
to
get.
The consequence.
Yeah, people start getting a picture of what this is going to look like. Because
mm-hmm.
once we go to divorce, you're going to get even less.
Yeah. And I've known several men who have done this. I mean, that the women are the bad ones. I've known several situations like this. It's not good.
No, it's not good. It happens. I'm just saying most of the time you don't hear because people are emailing us, are overwhelmingly women.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a stud muffin.
I attract all these
women.
Oh, yeah,
that's it.
That's what it is.
You attract dysfunctional women. What does that say?
Oh, no, it's bad.
I wouldn't be bragging about that one, sir.
I'm sorry, ladies. I didn't mean that.
That was a good one, Ross. So anyway, it goes either way. You cannot tolerate it. You people who have this kind of situation, they do these things to you because they can, and you let them. All right, see you tomorrow.
Bye, bye, boy.
Have fun storming the castle.